Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Aleph. We are holding nine lines from the top of the Amud. Back to the question of doubling up Isurim. So you have one item which is Asur on account of two reasons. What happens then? How much liability is there for eating that Isur? Here comes another example to add to the list of yesterday. Yesterday we discussed the Giranasha, which comes from an unkosher animal. Two reasons for Isur, what happens there? We had a discussion about that yesterday. Here comes another example, which is a Giranasha, but it's of an Avela, of a dead animal, which in itself is Asur on account of it being an Avela. So now this Giranasha seems to have two reasons for Isur. If one eats it, how much liability does he have? Amarav Yudamarav. Ha'echel Giranasha shal Nevela. If one consumes Giranasha, which is one Isur, shal Nevela, which is another Isur, Rabbi Meir Mechayev Shtayim. According to Rabbi Meir, there are two liabilities. Okay, so if he eats it intentionally, he gets twice Malkus. The reason being that the second Isser has where to land. You see, even though there's a pre-existing Isser, due to the fact that this Gid is Gid Hanasha, but when the animal dies, the entire animal assumes the status of Nevela. So the Isser of Nevela, which arrives, although it arrives second into the ring, but it's more encompassing. It's of a greater scope. It's a broader Isser. It's called Isser Koileil. It includes more. It covers more ground than the initial Isser of Giranasha, which is limited just to that sinew. Here it's a animal-wide Isser. The Nevela applies to every part of the animal, the meat and all that, right? So due to the fact that he's a broader Isser, he can now land and actually superimpose himself on the Giranasha as well, on top of the pre-existing Isser. So if one eats the Giranasha, he's chayv twice, Giranasha and Nevim. V'chachamim ayimrim, no, eino chayv ala achas. Even in this case, you can't double up Isurim. You can't make a double layer of Isser. Once it's Asur, it's Asur. You can't add to it. He's only chayv on account of it being a Giranasha. Now, even they would agree if the second Isser is more severe, not just in terms of, you know, not necessarily in terms of scope, but in terms of severity. It's Isser Chomer. So in that case, it will work. Umoidim Chacham Rameir. Chacham agreed to Rameir. In a case where the second Isser that arrives is, aside from being Isser Kailil, covering more ground, it's also more severe, more strict. It carries a greater penalty. It's a notch higher in terms of severity. It's called Isser Chomer. Umoidim Chacham L'Ramei Ba'ichel Giranasha Shel Oil. A Giranasha of an Oila. Carbon. He has no business eating a carbon. Belongs on the Mizbeach. So this really adds another layer of Isser because it's also Asur Bahano. One may not even have benefit, let alone eat. You can't have benefit from an Oila. So this broader Isser, the Isser Oila, which covers the whole animal, which is covering more ground than Ganasha, on top of the fact that he's a more severe Isser, that superimposes itself. Another example of an Isser Chomer, Mishal Sher HaNiskal, or a Sher that was condemned by the Bezdin due to the fact that he attacked and whatever, right? Also another form of Isser Hano. So in these cases, Shechayiv Shtayim, one eats the Ganasha in these scenarios, he's Chayiv twice. A, Ganasha, and B, because it's Hegdish or Sher HaNiskal. Says the Gemara, let's put a name to the face. Uman Haitana, who's this opinion? What's the name of this Tana de Isser Koil that when it comes to the second Isser, the broader Isser, which covers more ground, it doesn't really matter. He can't really add himself to the first Isser unless he's also Isser Chamor, he's a deeper Isser, a more severe Isser. Who's this Shita? The Isser Koil, when it comes to Isser Koil, a regular Isser, Chalal Isser, one Isser just adding himself, latching on to the pre-existing Isser Leslie, he doesn't hold it, that doesn't work. But if it's in the Isser Koil, a second one is a broader Isser, and it is also more severe, be Isser Chomer Isser, then it can latch itself on. Who's the Shita? Rabbi Yisrael Glili, we found author of this opinion. This is not. In the Mishnah, Maseches Zvachim, which goes like this. This is not. Tomei she'achal kodesh. A fellow who is tamei has no business eating karbonis. If he does, intentionally there's karis, unintentionally there's echatas. Tomei she'achal kodesh. And that applies bein kodesh tamei, whether the material that he ate is karbonis that became tamei. That's not really suitable for, you know, anything. Bein kodesh tor, whether it's perfectly fine carbon material, chayv. Either way, he's chayv because fact is, he's tummy. He has no business eating it. But basically, the Omer depends. No. Tummy she'achal es ha-tor chayv. If he's tummy and he ate something which is tor, suitable material, he's chayv karis, it's chayv achatas. But if it's tummy she'achal es ha-tummy, potter, if he ate something which is impure in itself, it's potter shalai achal dava tummy. He ate something which is tummy, and Rashi explains. Theoretically, if a person eats carbon material, which is tamei, with he himself being tar, that's a lesser transgression. Rashi says there's a lav. It's a lighter iser. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, if the item is tamei, then you can't go ahead and add more isurim on account of the person being tamei. Amrulay the Chacham responded, what do you mean? Av tamei she'achal ha-tor, even in a standard case where the tamei ate the tohar material, look, as soon as he picks it up, it becomes tamei. So it's inevitable. Kima shenogabai, once he touches it, hey, we made a tamei. No. Sha'apir ka'amrulay rabban rabiesi. It would appear that their argument is a solid argument. How could you ever hold him accountable? As soon as he touches it, it's tamei, and now it downgrades his whole liability. Vamarav, let me explain to you what's going on. It's all a matter of sequence. What happens first? What happens second? Look, benitma haguf v'achakach nitma basar. If it went this way, first the person became tummy, in which case now he is obligated to refrain from eating kara material, right? At the risk of facing kares and chatas. V'achakach nitma basar, and then the meat happens to become tummy. So it happened in that order. All agree that he's chayiv karis. The iser karis kadim, because the iser karis, on account of the personal tuma, preceded the tuma that happened to the baser. So that iser got into the ring first. That preempts the second one from interfering. Ki pligi b'nitma baser v'achach nitma guf. The question arises when it happened the other way around, the reverse. First, the meat became tummy, in which case it triggers a lesser level liability, a lav. If one should eat it, then the person became tummy, which carries a potential karis. But the question is, does that second liability superimpose itself on the first liability? Rabban islu isur kaila. Rabban say, yeah, because the second one is isur kaila, which we explained to mean a broader isur, covers more material, and if it's applicable for those, it also applies itself to this, even though this in itself already was asur, this piece of meat that became asur. Isur kaila. What's the isur kaidel? The migud de machayv achatichas tahira. Since when the person becomes tamei, he is now prohibited from eating other carbon materials, other pieces of meat which are tahir, right? At the risk of karis. Achatichas tahira is the alma, right? All the other ones out there. So since it gets activated, his liability gets triggered regarding the other pieces of meat. It also sweeps this one in as well. This is also, you know, also gets included in the package. Mechayev nami, mechayev nami chatichat tmei. He's also chayev on this pizza, which was tamei, which was really also to begin with on account of its own state of tumah. But the second liability latches onto it as well, because that second liability was introduced, was activated, was applied due to the other pieces out there. So it also covers this one. Rabbi Yisakli, less lesser koilo. Rabbi Yisi, Hagli disagrees with this whole idea of lesser koilo. He says, no, the migul, I mean, it's because when the person becomes tummy, he may not eat other pieces of meat at the risk of karis. It doesn't mean that it's going to add another element of iser to this tummy piece of meat, which was tummy to begin with on account of its own status. Okay, so we see that according to Bisek Lili, even by iser kaidel, we don't say iser chalal iser. Says the Gemara, Okay, but you're agreeing that even he would differentiate in a case where the second Isser is more severe, right? That's the premise we're working with. Even if you hold Isser Koil, does not add another layer, but if the second Isser is Koil and Mohammer, does superimpose itself. So that's the question here too. Rabbi Isaac Lili, okay, and he, it's true. Granted, the Isser Koil less lay, the Isser Kal. The second arrival, even though he's an Isser Koil, but if he's Isser Kal, he's not more severe than the first one, he will not superimpose itself. Right? If Isser Kal, if he's a lenient Isser, if he doesn't have more severity, he can't apply himself. But in our case, the second Isser is not Kal, it's actually more severe, more serious. A personal tumor that carries kares. Yava Isser Chum or Yachal Isser Kal. The most severe Isser should come and latch itself onto the pre-existing lighter Isser. What's the more severe Isser? Tumas Aguf. The tumor on the person shall write Tumas Aguf Bekares, because the liability there is kares, which is more severe than just the lav that happens when he eats the carbon, when it itself is tum. Amar Rav Ashi. Who's to decide what's more severe? I mean, you're assuming things. Man leimalan the tumas aguf chamur. Who's to say that personal tumah is considered more severe? It's true. Yeah, it has a greater punishment. But duma, perhaps tumas basar chamur. There's an element of severity within the tumas basar which doesn't exist by tumas aguf. You know what it is? You can't ever release it of its tumah. A person going to the mikvah and relieve himself of tumah, but meat, basar, food, you can't be toivel. You can't. They're less like to hire a mikvah. So there's an element of severity found with respect to the food status, to the tumah on the basar, which preempts any other isser from arriving. Return to the base. Okay, so we've pretty much established the concept basic lili. Even if the second isser that arrives into the ring is a broader isser, covers more ground, we don't say migu just because it works there, it sweeps this one in. Unless it's an Isser Chomer, it's established to be more severe, more serious, more consequential, such as something which is Isser Hana'a, which will latch itself onto an Isser Achila, like the case of Oila and Shahar Nisqal. Ask the Gemara, really? Rabbi Yisak Lili, is it true that Leslie Isser Koila, that he doesn't hold of Isser Koila? That when the second Isser, even though he's broader than the first, will not latch itself on, but Tanya, listen to this brisa, where it seems otherwise. Shabbos Yom Kippur. It happens to be Shabbos Yom Kippur together on the same day. Okay, so Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. A person may not engage in work due to Shabbos and due to Yom Kippur. Two reasons why you shouldn't be doing work. Shagag v'asam alacha. He mistakenly turned on the light. No, there are two reasons for Isser. One is Shabbos, one is Yom Kippur, right? Shogeg vasa malacha, minayin, shechai valze ba'atzma valze ba'atzma. How do we know that he's liable on account of each one separately? On account of Shabbos, he's chai ve'achatos, on account of Yom Kippur. And the truth is that here, they're not just duplicate Isurim. The way Rashi explains it, Shabbos is called Isur Moisif. And it adds another element of Isur that Yom Kippur didn't have, because Shabbos, if one does Malach on Shabbos, there's Misas Bezn, there's Skila. As opposed to Yom Kippur, where it's Karis, which is Bidei Shemaim. And likewise, Yom Kippur has an advantage over Shabbos in the sense that it's Isur Koilal, because on Shabbos, only work, only malacha is usr. You can eat, but in Kippur, there's an isr to eat too. So it's a broader isr, covers more ground. So the fact that they're different and they have advantages over each other, that explains why when they both arrive simultaneously, right? If it's Shabbos and Kippur together as one, you can be chayiv separately for each one. That's what Rashi explains the Gemara. Okay, so this idea of being chayiv for each one separately is based on the concept that they're not considered duplicates. That you can latch one on the other, you can generate a double-layered Isser. due to the fact that they have different features and they're unique, each one on its own. Okay, so Menai Shachayv al Zebef Ne'atzmei, Val Zebe'atzmei, how do we know? He's Chayv on this one Ba'atzmei, and on this one Ba'atzmei, Tamalayim of Reva Pasik. Shabbos he, Yom Kippurim hu. Pasuk says, Shesh Yosyomim Te'osim Malacha, right? This week's Pasha, Pasha's Vayakel, Vayoyim Ha'shvi, Shabbos, Shabbos, Kom Lech Le'esazu, Shabbos he. Shabbos is he, right? Unique. Stands alone. And then we have a Pasuk by Yom Kippur as well. Yom Kippurim hu? We learn from here. Even when they overlap, we treat each one separately and distinct. And each one generates its own liability. Divrei Rabbi Yisai Glili. There you go. Apparently Rabbi Yisai Glili holds. We can make a double layered isur, which is inconsistent with our understanding and his opinion until now. Rabbi Kiva Oymer Ein Chayv L'Achas. Kiva says only Chayv one. Can't have two liabilities for two isurim that are happening at the same time. Okay, so this is a big question mark in our whole sugi. Says the Gemara Shalach Ravin. So Ravin sent a solution, sent an answer. Mishum Rabbi Yisai. Yeah, Kachat Zosho Mishnah. The version that we have was, in fact, the way it was learned. But Ishno, the correct version is actually to flip it around. Ve'efach, we have to switch around the names. In which case, Rabbi Yisai Glili is the one who says you only chayv one because he holds you can't double decker, you know, isurim. Continues the Gemara. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giur. He sent a message as follows: Mishum, the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now, the divrei Rabbi Yisai Glili, l'mayda afchon, according to our new reversed version of Rabbi Yisai Glili's shita, which is that he's only chayv one on account of both Shabbos and Kippur, so it's two in one. What happens as follows: Shagag b'Shabbos. So again, it's Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. Now he turned on the light, not realizing that it's Shabbos. Shagag b'Shabbos. So shogeg triggers a chatas, right? V'hizid b'Yom Kippurim. But he was aware of the fact that it's Yom Kippur. Chayev. He'll bring a chatas on account of the shogeg of Shabbos. So even though he doesn't have a reason to bring a chatas for the fact that it's Yom Kippur, because he knew it was Yom Kippur, there's no chatas for doing something knowingly. But the shogeg aspect on account of Shabbat is sufficient to trigger the chatas. As opposed to, he is it b'Shabbos, v'shogeg b'Yom Kippurim. He knew it was Shabbos, but he didn't realize it was Yom Kippur. Potter, he's exempt. There's no chatas. Why? So clearly, according to this understanding, when Shabbos and Yom Kippur fall out simultaneously, when there's a sort of a two-in-one situation, and according to Rabbi Yisai Glili, in the new version, he's only chayv one, that chiv relates to Shabbos. Shabbos is the one that triggers. You can ask which one of the two will trigger the chatas. Shabbos will do it. And not the Yom Kippur aspect of the day. Why? My time of why? Is the chiv related to Shabbos, not Yom Kippur? I mean, after all, they're happening at the same time. It's Shabbos and Yom Kippur at the same day. My time, Amar Abaye, Shabbos kviya v'kaima. Shabbos sort of precedes Yom Kippur, because Shabbos is kavua, is an established entity from way back, from Sheshis Mebereshis. As opposed to Yom Kippurim, says the Gemara, that's established year after year based on the, you know, calendar arrangement that's established by the Beis Din on an annual basis. Yom Kippurim, Beit Dina, the Beis Din, the Kavila, they're the one who established it. Beit Dina, the Kavila. So it's sort of like second into the ring. Shabbos made it in first. Predates Yom Kippur, which is sort of something which has to be established year after year. So if we're dealing with, you know, which one is in first, which one takes precedence, it's Shabbos. It's like he's the first Isser that arrived, even though technically they're both on the same day. But in terms of sort of hierarchy, Shabbos is sort of in first. Therefore, if you have to choose between the two, which one is the reason for the chatas? Which one's going to trigger the liability? It's Shabbos. Omali Rabba, so Rabba, he didn't accept this. He says like this, Omali Rabba, so look, ultimately, I mean, you're dealing with, you know, historical perspectives here. What happened first? And at the end of the day, right now, it's Shabbos Yom Kippur. As far as the violator is concerned, they both arrived, they both landed at the same moment, at Shkia, right? Beginning of the day. So it is a simultaneous arrival. You can't give one priority over the other. Amar Rav Yosef, ultimately, Tarvayu Bahadia Dodika, so they both came at the same time. The way Rashi explains it, so apparently we have to take a different view of Rabbi Yisrael Glili's two-in-one system. It's two-in-one. Exactly. It's not because of Shabbos as opposed to Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael Glili will hold. And in this type of situation where it's two Yisurim and wrapped in one, you only chayv one. One on account of both. And whichever one. If you were shagig on Shabbos, you bring a chatas for Shabbos. If you're shagig Yom Kippur, you chatas Yom Kippur. It's not because of Shabbos as opposed to Yom Kippur. They both have equal claim to the day, so to speak. There are two reasons for liability, but ultimately it's only chayav one. One for both. Oh, so the question is, I mean, it was taught otherwise. I remember it was sent from Rabbi Yochanan, that could be said Glili, right? The chiv is only because of Shabbos, not Yom Kippur, right? I mean, how do you reconcile that? I mean, it was a message, it was a halacha. What type of scenario was that referring to? Elam Arava, I'll tell you what happened, Sham Dahava. That halacha was relating to a very unique circumstance. It was a time of Shmad, when the Goyim were coercing the Yidden to transgress the Torah. And they didn't let them establish the Bezdin, the Kiddush HaChodesh, and the calendar system, which forms the basis for our whole, you know, way of life, and Yom Tovim. It was a time of Shmad. And they could not observe Yom Kippur. And that's the point of the message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael. Look, we don't want to totally neglect Yom Kippur. Rashi says, we want to do something to commemorate Yom Kippur, even if you can't do it on the day of, at least someday, do it on Shabbos. Well, in any case, you're resting from work, and it won't be so discernible, it won't be so evident that you're observing Yom Kippur. Do it on that day, even though it's not the real day. The Yom Kippur, the Hashat, Yom Kippur of this year, Shabbat Lehavi, there's a Gerus, it should be on Shabbos, celebrated on Shabbos. Likewise, when Rav and all those that came down from Eretz Yisrael, to Bavel, they also concurred, they corroborated with Amru Karava, they explained it like Rav, that was a circumstance, that was a story. It was a very unique case. It wasn't really Yom Kippur, it was really only Shabbos, of course. Person turns on the light on that day, he's only chayv because of Shabbos. And that explains that statement, that you know, the chatas will only happen if it was shagig because of Shabbos, and as opposed to if he knew it was Shabbos, there's no chatas, because it was only Shabbos, it wasn't Yom Kippur, there was no other reason for chayv. But in a typical, you know, standard, two-in-one situation, where it's really Shabbos and Yom Kippur on the same day, and although Kontra basically the only chayiv one, because you hold Enis or Chalal Isser, but that one liability is really covering both days, both aspects of the day. So if he turns on his light on that day, whether he was shagig on account of Shabbos, or whether he was unaware of the fact that he was Yom Kippur, either way, it's chayiv achatas. Okay, so in summation, Isser, Chalal Isser. Typically, we can't just land one on the other. But the second one is broader, is greater, is deeper. So Kontra Meir, Isur Koilo, which means it covers more ground, covers more items, or it's a Moisif, it adds another element of it. Yeah, according to Isur Glili, it's only if the second Isur is more Chomer as well. Right? So, it's not enough that it should be Isur Koilo, that it covers more ground, covers more items, or it's a Moisif, it covers more people. It has to be Chomer as well, more serious, more severe. Like in the case of Isur Hano, but not in the case of the kachem there that was tamei. Not in the case of Shabbos Yom Kippur. Okay, back to Gedan Asher. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isser of Gedan Asher is prehistoric. It started way back from Yaakov Avinu's times. Right? It says, Alkein lo yichol bnei Yisrael, right after the story with the Malach. Tanya, Amru, the Chacham responded, Rabbi Yudah b'chin emra, Alkein lo yichol bnei Yaakov. Does the Pasuk then call them bnei Yaakov, which would indicate that the Yisrael was initiated then? Pasuk specifically relates to bnei Yisrael, which only happened later. V'lainukum bnei Yisrael, when were we given the title of bnei Yisrael? At Sinai, until Sinai, we were not called Yisrael. Elo b'sinai nemar, so it must be, really, the Yisrael was introduced at Sinai, together with the rest of the Torah, but it was recorded back in its place, to put it back in context later, so that we understand, we know the background, why it became also because of the episode with the Malach. Masav Ravas, Rav has a question. Bnei Yisrael, was a title given to them only at Har Sinai? Masav Ravas, Yisrael Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov Avim. Pasuk says that they carried Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim, and they were called Bnei Yisrael, before Matan Torah. Says the Gemara, Lacha Masav, and Rashi explains, yeah, that was way after the story with the Malach. So later on, when Hashem told him, listen, I'm switching your name from Yaakov to Yisrael, at that point, his children were called Bnei Yisrael, but not back at the time of the story. Amalei Rav Ach, by the Rav Larvashi, okay, it's a fine, Mehishata, Litzer. If you're agreeing that they were called Bnei Yisrael from, this point onward, when they were traveling out to Mitzrayim, so at least at that point they should become Asur Geran Asher, because now they're called Bnei Yisrael. Amalei says it's not such a thing. The Torah was given only once. Amalei v'chi Torah pa'amim pa'amim nitni. You think the Torah was given piecemeal? Ha'u shaita. The point that you're referring to when they were traveling down to Mitzrayim, lav shas ma'asavoy, was neither the time of the actual episode with the Malach, which would be reason enough to trigger the Yisur, and certainly Veloishas Matan Torah, it wasn't a time of Matan Torah, in which case, there's no basis for introducing a new, we don't find, mitzvahs were given just a little randomly, well, nowhere. So therefore we maintain that in fact the Din of Geran Asher was introduced only at Har Sinai. Interesting discussion. Okay, so let's recap today's daf. We discuss Isser Chalal Isser. Ordinarily, it's not going to be Chal, except for if it's Isser Koil, Isser Moisef. That's according to one sheet, according to Rishag Levi. It has to be Isser Chamer as well, no matter Shaila. At what point was Geran Asher introduced, according to Rav Yehuda, from the time of the episode itself, according to Rabbanon, at Har Sinai. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.